Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today, we're going to continue to talk about the wonder, the great gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit given to each one of us who are baptized into Christ. Jesus said these beautiful words, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You could take this passage and use it to describe, just in this short sentence, the whole purpose for which Jesus came. This is the end game for which Jesus came. Why he took on human flesh, why he became one of us, why he spent 3 years on mission, teaching and manifesting the presence and power of the kingdom of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, building a living community of brothers and sisters and a spiritual family around him, talking about the Father, promising eternal life, destroying the works of the devil, bringing down the kingdom of darkness, the great enemies of the human race, the world, the flesh, and the devil. All of that, his dying on a cross, his rising from the dead, and his entering into glory at the right hand of the Father, all of it was to lead to this lived reality that he's talking about here. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus died, was raised from the dead, and entered the glory of the Father, enthroned at the right hand of the Father, so that it would be possible for human beings to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These rivers of living water is the presence of the Spirit. So it's crucial to see that Christianity isn't just, or the central thing of Christianity isn't just simply Jesus' death on the cross, which it is the center through which, without the cross, there's no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's no ascension. Without the ascension, there's no glorification. Without the incarnation, Jesus taking on human flesh, there's no salvation for the human race that he came to save. But all of it, friends, is meant to lead to this. Human beings can hear the good news about Jesus, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul would say. And the good news is his victory over the powers of sin and death that grip the human race, and his powers over the work of Satan, who is the source of that domination that leads human beings into darkness. Jesus breaks that whole regime of power. He comes forward from the tomb in a whole new creation, a whole new way of being human, a whole new humanity is born in Jesus, completely freed forever and ever and ever from sin and death and from the grip of Satan and from all the decay and chaos of the world. Never again will Jesus ever be subject to any of that. And he's the beachhead. He's the firstborn of now a whole race of people. And what was in Jesus can now be given to us. What was in Jesus? The life of God, the divine life, a life greater and more powerful than the powers of darkness on this earth, greater and more powerful than the world, the flesh, and the devil, more powerful than the realities of sin and death. And so Jesus is saying to us, the day will come when those who hear the good news of Jesus and believe that he's Lord, and that he's come to take away our sin, and that we are sin sick, and there's a way out of our sickness. To those who hear this offering of salvation and who bend the knee and say yes to it and say, "Yes, Jesus, you perfectly diagnose my life. My heart is sick. It is full of envy, jealousy, rivalry, hatred, self-centeredness, inordinate self-love, murder, lying, fornication, homosexual acts, you name it. Lord, this is in us. You know, various, you know, deadly sins are present in us, and it's in the core of our being. It's in the heart. We need a new heart." And this is what Jesus is now quoting in that passage, "Out of their heart will flow rivers of living water," passages from Ezekiel and Jeremiah, passages in the Old Testament that foretold that the law, the external law that was put on commandments, would be put into the human heart, and the hardened human heart would be softened and tenderized by the loving presence of the Holy Spirit given to us. So it was foretold And then Jesus speaks the same words that were foretold in the Old Testament, but this is very interesting what John goes on to say. So Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." This is so important to see and understand. The economy of God's plan, the unfolding of God's plan. How does the Holy Spirit come to dwell in human hearts? It begins with the Father sending the Son, and the Holy Spirit and the Son on mission on the earth, destroying and overturning the kingdom of darkness and establishing the kingdom of God, the reign of God, which means living in the life of God. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." John, in Luke's gospel, the Spirit came upon Jesus when he was baptized. He said the Holy Spirit led him into the desert and helped him make war against Satan as Satan tried to tempt him in the desert to turn away from his identity and his purpose and his destiny. He left the desert under the anointing, Scripture says, of the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes back to his hometown in Nazareth and he takes up the scroll of Isaiah in the temple. He reads that very passage that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then from there, he begins his mission. One of the first things he does is he's confronted by a demonized person, someone who's literally under the dominion of Satan in a powerful way in this world, can't break free himself, and Jesus delivers him. He gives sight to the blind. He heals the sick. He's moving in the authority and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on him. Now, Jesus spends 3 years establishing the kingdom and rule of God. On the cross, ultimately, he disarmed, Scripture says, the principalities and powers of this world. He disarmed Satan's reign over human hearts. Anybody who comes into Christ is set free from the dominion of Satan, the dominion of the flesh, and the domination of this world. And we're given by grace a participation in Jesus' new creation, in his new beginning. So Jesus begins by leading the apostles and those early followers into the kingdom. He's crucified for our sake. His blood is shed as a sacrifice that is the thing that really brings down Satan's kingdom. The accuser has us enslaved because he knows he can accuse us because we have fallen short of the law, because we have sinned against God. We've broken the great commandment. Instead of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, we love ourselves first. And the commandment, which is meant for our good, now shines like a light into our heart and reveals the fact that it condemns us. Really, we're under a curse, under the curse of the law, Paul will say. That thing that was meant for good to tell us how we're meant to live, it actually shows us how we're not living, how we fail. And we stand under it and we're condemned by it instead of being brought to life by it. So Jesus comes, he takes on human flesh, and he does the very thing the commandments calls him to do. He loves the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, loves his neighbor as himself, lays down his life in obedience, and love is expressed in the kingdom love, which is obedience to commandments, the commandments of God, who is good, and Jesus offers up his life in obedience for us. He became a sacrifice for sin, and the shedding of that blood destroyed and brought down the devil's kingdom. Scripture says if the devil would have known what God had planned in Jesus on that cross, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. That proud, arrogant creature, by the way, who is only a creature. He's not God. He's not equal to Jesus. He's not equal to God the Father. He's a creature. He's a powerful creature, but nowhere near as powerful as God. But his pride, his arrogance, his envy brought him down as he killed the innocent person, Jesus. And when he killed him and thought his moment of victory was there, the precious blood of Jesus began to flow for the salvation of the world. And that perfect sacrifice of Jesus in love, an offering he gave for our sake, becomes the means by which human beings can be saved. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. The devil himself shed the blood that cut the devil's throat and brought new life to every single one of us who are baptized into Jesus and cleansed by that blood. And then he was raised from the dead. and the new creation began. He broke the chains. He broke the darkness. He broke the doom that was over the human race and the dominion of the kingdom, and a whole new reality. The devil could never, 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 never touch the Son of God. There's no chance. It's over. It's done. And the new thing God is doing, the new creation, has begun in the person of Jesus. So lift your eyes to the heavens, friends. Lift your eyes to the person of Jesus. Don't get stuck here only. Live with your heart and your mind in heaven so you can see where you're going and what Christ has done for you. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. So here again, here's the point. John is telling us in chapter 7, now this he said about the Spirit. That is, John said this about this, or Jesus said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. Jesus went through all of this so that he could give us a share in his own Spirit. And a new humanity could be born again. We could be, what does being born again mean? It's not just that we're reading a book or water got poured over us. No, in baptism, we were plunged into the life of Christ. And the cross of Christ, we were touched by the reality of the sacrifice of Jesus' cross in that baptism. And he washed us clean of our sin. And then the Spirit was breathed into us and we became children of God. Children of God because we share his own Spirit. Because the fulfillment of what Jesus desired, he says throughout John's gospel, we want to come and live in you as in a temple. We become temples of the living God. That's how we become children of God. And this is all made possible, John tells us here, because Jesus was glorified. The Spirit could come and Spirit could be sent when the Son returned home to the right hand of the Father, having perfectly completed the mission he was sent to by the Father. And that meant, friends, that he became one of us so he could save us. He took on human flesh so he could save us. The God-man, Jesus. By the way, Jesus was conceived in the womb of Our Lady, of Mary. There was never a time when Jesus was not the Son of God. There was never a time when Jesus was not divine. He's the God-man, period. That's the teaching of the church, teaching of Scripture. So humanity, because of the fall, because of original sin, the sin of Adam, that we as his offspring inherited and connived in ourselves, is broken by the coming of the Son of God, who becomes the second Adam, living the life Adam was meant to live but fell short. It says he fell short of the glory of God. We were destined as human beings to have fellowship with God. And that's where we would find our identity, our fulfillment, our contentment, our joy, our happiness, our integration. All of it would be there. But we fell from it because of sin. And we came under the domination of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and of the powers of sin and death, with no possible way of getting free from it until Jesus came, till light entered the darkness. Until he became a sacrifice for us and he brought down the kingdom of darkness and he returned home to the Father, the victorious, faithful, obedient, loving Son. And that loving Son so united himself to us. He's one of us in the flesh. And he says, Father, may I pour out the Holy Spirit on my brethren. May the Spirit that raised me from the dead now be made available to human beings who are willing to repent and to come to me to receive me as their Lord and God. Let me, Father, begin the new creation. Let me extend the new creation that has begun in me. That's what, friends, that's what the Catholic Church is all about. That's what God has done in your life. Hope you can tune in again tomorrow. Have a great and blessed day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.